that you can believe in a God, if you must or if you will, without having to be religious. A religious person is someone who goes further than believing that the God hypothesis is true. A religious person is someone who says they know what God wants. They claim to know him in person and to have him revealed. That's more than anyone can possibly claim. And it's therefore an unsound claim, and because it's a large claim on a very major subject, it's likely to lead to fanaticism.
That's Christopher Hitchens, now famous atheist and journalist, making at least one point that he makes in his best-selling book called God Isn't Great, Why Religion Poisons Everything. How would you respond to that one claim? How would you respond to anyone who believes in God, fine and good, but don't claim to know him or what he wants? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address during audio open lines, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to the phones and talk first with Mary Beth, who calls from her car. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi, Todd. I think I would answer this journalist by just referring to the book that kind of helped me put all this together was Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. I think he laid out a good defense of how faith fits in. I think he does a good job of it, so I would just refer a person like that to that particular book.
Mary Beth, thank you very much for the call. Yes, Lewis, I mean, makes some great points in Mere Christianity, and I think it probably would respond well to things like all religions surrender reason, another point that Hitchens makes. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Bill's calling from his car. Hi, Bill.
How are you doing? First of all, I don't think I'll try to convert Mr. Hitchens. I find him annoying. And I would simply tell him, look, this is your reason for not believing in a God is no better than my reason for believing in a God. So go take a hike.
All right, Bill, I guess that is a form of a response. Now, the reasons he doesn't believe in God, he doesn't believe it's rational to believe in a God. I think that's a fair characterization of his point. He believes that God is a figment of our imagination. Now, he cites as evidence for that the many, many thousands of notions of God that men hold and have held throughout human history. I mean, if we're simply imagining this, it kind of accounts for the fact that everybody has a different idea about God, who he is, what he wants. And he also thinks that you don't need God to have a sense of right or wrong. How do you respond to these points? 1-800-730-2727. It's audio open lines. Tom is calling from his car. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Todd. Earlier this week, there was a refutation in the Wall Street Journal opinion page to Mr. Hitchens. And one of the things that the writer said was, in the 20th century, which is maybe the most secular century, the greatest atrocities have been committed by people who are not religious at all, whether you think about Mao Zedong or Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin. And so that point sort of goes against his point, which is religion is the cause of great evil, and only a fool says in his heart there is no God.
Tom, thank you very much for the call. Okay, now, this is a very common response, that when atheism has ruled the day, it has generally tended to redound to everyone's misery. And the famous cases, of course, of communism and Mao Zedong and Pol Pot and all of these kind of things. Although that argument has to be weighed against the fact that, well, in the name of religion, we have this thing called worldwide terrorism that we're trying to hold in check. Do you notice how the argument ties together there? So maybe we shouldn't be comparing religion in general with atheism, but maybe our religion, namely Christianity, with atheism. Because there are religions like Islam that get you in a lot of trouble. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Chris in Nevada writes this. He says, I didn't see him make any case. He simply makes assertions. He claims it's impossible for any person to know what God wants. How can he know this? Is he really stating that God cannot reveal his will to anyone, that he lacks this ability? Well, no, Chris, I think he's saying that God doesn't exist. He asserts that God did not make man, man made God. To be fair, Christians must admit that all but one God is created by man. You know, that's true. When I heard Hitchens say that, I thought, you know, I agree with him, with the exception of Christianity. Good point, Chris. However, he does not offer any proof that there is no God. You must have a reason to say that something is so. To assert that God did not create man, he must show evidence that God did not do this. Finally, I would argue that God has proved himself by raising Christ from the dead. Great point, Chris. Oh, just a little note for the rest of you. That's kind of the point if you're going to debate the atheist. I'd argue, says Chris, that there are too many witnesses for the resurrection, including Paul, the church's first great opponent, and no evidence against the resurrection. If he claimed that it is silly or impossible, I'd argue that God would have something, would have to do something impossible to prove himself. He would have to do something that, apart from the action of God, is impossible. If he's going to eliminate the miraculous a priori, that is, without examination, then there's no point in bothering to look for evidence for God. You've already decided that there is none. And eventually I would accept that he probably is going to find me a fool, and I would simply read 1 Corinthians 3:18, 20 and be okay with it. Chris in Nevada, thank you very much for the email. What about the rest of you? How would you respond to Christopher Hitchens' points, the points that he makes in his book, God Isn't Good? Ruth in Dallas writes, Mr. Hitchens is right on target, according to Mueller. Mueller points out that Christianity is, by the best definition, not a religion. Oh, by the way, I think she's talking about Theodore Mueller, if I'm not mistaken. The Christianity, by the best definition, is not a religion, but all other faith systems, such as Mohammedism, Shintoism, etc., are. Let's pause there for a second in Ruth's email. Okay, the point that Ruth is making is that while Christianity might be sociologically classified as one of many religions, if one looks at Christianity in particular, it is not a religion in the same way that other religions are. Yes, does it assert that there is a God? Of course. But it asserts a very different God than all other religions and a very different relationship between man and God than all other religions. You can say it one of two different ways. You can say Christianity is entirely unique among the world religions, or you can say that if religion is man appeasing God through his life or his works or what he does or doesn't do, then Christianity doesn't even qualify for that definition. She continues, there are methods whereby we can satisfy the demands of a God they have made in their own image, says as Christopher says, so we have to agree with him in this. However, Christianity, which involves a relationship with him who satisfied his father perfectly, whom he knew perfectly, this is not against reason, but above reason, says Ruth. The Islamists rioted and killed many when the Pope proposed discussing human affairs using both reason and faith. Not very reasonable, says Ruth in Dallas. Well, this is a point that C.S. Lewis mentioned by an earlier caller, is famous for making, that the Christianity is not contra reason, it is supra reason. It is not against reason, it is above reason, or it transcends reason. Although it doesn't leave reason behind, let's not think that Christianity leaves reason lying on the ground while it floats up in the air. To say a statement like Christ rose from the dead involves reason. To make a statement like that is that he is to necessarily also assert, reasonably, that Christ isn't dead any longer, or that he did not remain dead when he was crucified after 3 days. So reason is always in play. It is reason in service of faith. Well, speaking of God, you want a doll of God? You want a Jesus doll? Walmart is planning on selling a new line of, action figures, religious action figures. My question for you as we listen to this CBS News story, about these plans for a new line of religious action figures at Walmart. Would you buy one of these? Here's the story from CBS.
A new line of action figures aimed at Christian parents.
This is the One to Believe showroom just north of Los Angeles, and this is the line of toys that will be available in about 425 Walmarts starting next month. They have everyone from Jesus.
And with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength.
They actually talk. They also have Moses and Noah and David and Mary. All of these toys, says this company, they are hoping will sell in the tens of thousands. They also say that it is a battle for the toy box, and they're going to have some help in that battle. Another one of their toy lines are the Spirit Warriors, characters like Samson and Goliath, also Bible characters. Walmart says they are a community store, and by selling this line, they are simply trying to prove that. Miguel Marquez, ABC News, Valencia, California.
Would you buy one of these? A Jesus doll. I shouldn't say doll because it makes it sound like it's for girls. A Jesus action figure. What kind of actions does... When I had G.I. Joe. Do you remember G.I. Joe? I still have one. My wife was kind enough. Oh, we'd been married a couple of years when I was always filled with deep ennui about the fact that my G.I. Joe that I had as a child somehow disappeared into the dust of the attic of my parents' house. And at the time, they were selling something called G.I. Joe, which wasn't G.I. Joe. It was this tiny little thing. And then, as part of nostalgia and as part of an anniversary thing for G.I. Joe, they came out with the big G.I. Joe again, and my wife got me one. It's in storage right now, not in the attic, but in the basement. Hey, he was an action figure. I knew what G.I. Joe did. He fired guns. He rode in jeeps. He dug foxholes. He slept out in the open of the backyard. He many times tried to climb the back fence. He got stuck in trees. What does the Jesus action figure do? I know what the real Jesus did do, but what does a Jesus action figure do? Would you buy one? Josh is calling from his car. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Todd. I might buy one just for the novelty of it, you know, stick it on my computer monitor or something silly like that. But by bringing up G.I. Joe, I think you raise a really good point. What are kids going to do with these things when they play them? You know, we're going to have Samson beating up Jesus and, you know, Mary taking it out on Paul. Who knows what's going to happen with these things? This just seems like one of those, you know, somebody had an idea and didn't think it all the way through.
Or maybe they had the idea and thought it through and just really had no problem with it.
I hope that's not the case, but who knows?
Well, okay, Josh, you speak as a former boy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and see, our minds, even the adult male, still thinks along the lines of the boy, always. And you're right. You get any kind of action figure, Jesus, Moses, it will be eventually some sort of cage match between Jesus and Moses acted out in the backyard. Or you're going to try and get the G.I. Joe scuba mask to fit on Jesus so he can, you know, swim in the bathtub. All the things that kids do with their action figures. The irony of this to me seems that there are Christians who would run out at the first light of morning to buy a Jesus action figure at Christmas time or birthday time for their kids from Walmart, who, if you suggested that they have a statue of Jesus in church, would go pale in the face. Okay, laying aside all those of you, and I know who you are, who would buy the Jesus action figure, the Moses action figure, just for the novelty, just to say you did and be able to show it to people at parties and laugh and whatnot, would you seriously buy one for the intended target demographic, your kids or your grandkids? If so, I want to hear from you. If not, I also want to hear from you. 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Here's another question for our listeners to ponder. What would you want the Jesus action figure or Jesus doll to say? Because they say things. What would you want them to say?
What did he say in the piece?
I can't remember. What was it?
I don't remember. Okay, Buzz, find it on the audio if you would. But my guess is that it was something from the Sermon on the Mount. Something rather generic, rather easy.
Not the law on the Sermon on the Mount.
Well, you know what I'd like it to say? At the very least, at the absolute very least, bottom line, one of the things that it should say when you pull the string on the Jesus action figure is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Which kind of, again, if you're searching for irony, the fact that a piece of plastic would utter these words is enough for you. You probably found it there. But what would you want this Jesus to say?
Jesus?
And with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength.
They actually talk.
Okay, so they kind of cut it out there, but I take it that they are quoting Jesus. I think this would be in the discussion of the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment, teacher? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Well, there's a little law for you, although I imagine the average Christian who would buy the Jesus action figure would think that they're already doing that.
There's no way they're going to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me.
Why not?
Because the marketing gurus are going to be there saying, no. That's not lowest common denominator.
I'm actually amazed that they got love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind in that one.
Yeah, but, you know, 90-some percent of Americans believe in God.
Well, that's true. That's true. And 90% of Americans probably think they're loving God with all their heart, soul, and mind. Anyway, okay. Care to chime in on the Jesus action figures? I mean, Moses, Samson, Mary, any of the other ones are, in my mind, neither here nor there. Go ahead. If you want to go and market the Moses action figure with tablets of stone or a staff or whatever you want to put into his hand, kung fu grip, go crazy. But when it comes to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, are you comfortable with that? Bill's on the line. Hi, Bill.
Good afternoon. I just kind of concerned that that an action figure like that might be kind of perceived as being you know, a fictional, you know, kind of like on along the lines of Rambo or you know, some of the like G.I. Joe, like he's just a fictional character,
mm-hmm.
and not you know, and not you know, not something really. They all get tossed in the same bin with Batman and all the other toys that the kids have. And
well, it's true, Bill. Thank you very much. I mean, if you go to Walmart to the toy section, you will find the action figure section. And who do you meet there? Batman, Spider-Man, the X-Men, Skeletor. I'm kind of dating myself there. The Transformers, they're making a comeback too. It would be nice if the Jesus action figure transformed in some way. Maybe into a school bus or a blimp or, you know, just a little added bonus there. So would you be comfortable with Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, the arch villains, Jesus, Moses, Samson, the Virgin Mary? 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Lee's calling from his car. Hi, Lee.
Yes. No, I would not be comfortable in buying that because I would take it as a money-making gimmick for another company that is making money off of it, unless they were going to give the profit of it to something like Habitat for Humanity or some worthwhile organization that helps people in poor lands or in our country or helps missionaries continue their work.
So your objection would be the profit motive more than anything
yes,
else?
Yes, I definitely would see it as a profit motive for the company.
All right, thank you, Lee. You know, one question someone might ask, given all the news about China's exports and Walmart and that kind of stuff, is it made in the USA? I mean, is the Jesus action figure made in the USA better than one that's made in Taiwan? DB's on the line. DB, thank you for waiting.
Hey, Todd. Well, I come from a Presbyterian background, and so in my tradition, there's always concern over imagery of Jesus. But even saying that, I think there's a tremendous difference between seeing our Lord portrayed in, say, something like stained glass in a way that's honorable and worshipful and treats Christ with reverence as God, and something like this, which really trivializes him. To me, a toy is just that. It's a childish thing, a thing we play with as children. And to put Jesus in that format is far different than even pictures of Jesus that we might use in Sunday school material, where we're trying to teach our children about Jesus Christ, who's incarnate, who's the God incarnate, who died for our sins. I just think that the whole thing trivializes.
who he is.
Okay, DB, I understand. Thank you very much. You know, on the subject of, because I raised the issue of people who might buy this for their grandkids would blanch at the idea of having a Jesus statue in church or Jesus depicted in some form of art. And I'll just make my brief case for, or Jesus on a crucifix, for heaven's sakes. I'll make my brief case for images of Jesus. If they, you know, I think this, I'm going out on a limb here, maybe. No, I don't think I am. Would the Jesus action figure be a violation of no graven images? Or in this case, no molded or extruded images? Would it? No, it's a toy, someone might say. All right? I mean, Walmart obviously thinks they can make some money with this stuff. Jesus action figures, biblical action figures. If you tried to make one of Muhammad, you would cause riots in the street worldwide. Now, I'm comfortable with images and of our Lord. I think it says something of the incarnation. I think also it is visual preaching, if you will, especially those that are accurate. And I think it can be done without a violation of graven images or of the Second Commandment against idolatry. What about the rest of you? Let's see what Selena has to say, calling from her car. Hi, Selena.
Hi. When you were talking about the kids using the action figures for something other than what they were doing, I can guarantee that that would have happened because my grandsons got a hold of the nativity set, and first, the next thing I knew, baby Jesus was riding the train around the bottom of the Christmas tree. At least he was leading, you know, the train. He was on the prominent point of leading the train, but I'm sure that they will do something. This was a three-year-old, you know, but they would do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Selena, one of the most touching stories from the Wilkin Christmas anthology is the story of when my son, at the time, probably 5 years old, our first Christmas in our new house, my wife said he could set up the nativity set. You know, a five-year-old doesn't know from nativity sets. A five-year-old is going to construct the nativity set, put the figures in place the way a five-year-old thinks they ought to go.
Right.
You know the amazing thing about it, Selena? He did it right. Not the way you normally see it. You know how my son set it up at 5 years old? You couldn't see Jesus. He was way at the back of the stable in the manger.
Right.
And everyone else had their backs to us, all looking in at him. They weren't posed like they were on stage. They were all looking in at Jesus. Now, we giggled about it, but I realized at the time, you know, this kid gets it. That
yeah.
They were, the real focus of that scene was not the cute animals or the sheep or the wise men arriving from afar, but the Christ child incarnate to save us. Selena,
right.
Thank you for the call.
Yep.
Yeah, so what are you kids going to do with the Jesus action figure? Will it be Jesus versus G.I. Joe? Will it be Jesus versus Spider-Man? I mean, Spider-Man's got some pretty amazing abilities. I mean, when you say action figure, that implies that there's going to be some actions taking place. You're going to put this figure into action. What kind of actions would the Jesus action figure do? We'll take more of your phone calls on the other side of this break. Audio open lines.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In Acts chapter 18, a man by the name of Apollos is proclaiming the word of God. But Priscilla and Aquila explained the word to him more accurately. In other words, he needed correction. How willing are you and I to accept correction? Let's ask Dr. John Nordling next time on our 10:05 Bible study.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Mary Magdalene. In recent years, there's been much said about this lady from the Galilean town of Magdala. We shouldn't be surprised. Ours is an age which greatly desires the truth and often believes that truth can never be found. We want answers about Mary Magdalene and her relationship with the Savior.
Pastor Ken Klaus, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Kim Troby, sitting in for Bob Dittmer.
The Planned Parenthood Action Fund hosted a presidential candidate forum earlier this week where several leading hopefuls pledged their support for the abortion provider's agenda should they be elected. The Edwards and Obama campaigns got specific, promising abortion coverage in their universal health care plans. Steve Jordahl reports that would have a dramatic effect on state abortion restrictions.
At the Planned Parenthood event, Elizabeth Edwards said her husband's plan would cover, quote, all reproductive health care, including pregnancy termination. Barack Obama said his would cover reproductive health services, which his campaign later confirmed includes abortion. Kelly Shackelford of the Liberty Legal Institute says a move like that could void almost all of the pro-life protections states have built into their laws.
Under the U.S. Constitution, there's what's called the Supremacy Clause, which says that the federal law is the supreme law of the land, that if the federal government has authority under the Constitution, their law will trump the state law.
That could include parental notification laws, clinic regulations, informed consent laws, and laws that require women be offered ultrasound services. Pro-life legal organizations would have their hands full.
There would be an absolute explosion of lawsuits over something like this.
Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America says these proposals point out the inconsistencies in many pro-abortion candidates.
The same candidates who are claiming they want to reduce the number of abortions are promoting a plan that would increase the number of abortions and would require that every American taxpayer be an accomplice.
And keep in mind they were talking to Planned Parenthood.
These candidates will say one thing in front of one audience, but may change what they say in front of other audiences.
She says what you hear may not be so clear. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
Neither the Edwards nor the Obama campaign returned our calls for comment. For Family News in Focus, I'm Kim Troby.
We may not think we were like Paul. We were exactly like Paul. We hated God. We were his enemy. Whether as an infant, through baptism, God converted us, or as an adult later on through the Word, it doesn't matter. Nobody is different than the Apostle Paul prior to conversion. And all conversions are like the Apostle Paul. No decision except God's decision.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on AM 850 KFUO.
The story of God's creation of the world, the fall of man, and God's promise of salvation come alive in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. It's a children's book titled The Real Story of Creation by Dr. Paul Meyer. The Real Story of Creation is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. You'll also find information on our website, issuesetc.org. The Real Story of Creation, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We heard this CNN story about Walmart's plan to sell Christian action figures, and the one that really caught my attention was the Jesus action figure. The only piece of audio that they had of this, I guess you can pull a string or press a button or something and he speaks. Boy, am I dating myself to talk about pulling a string. They would never allow children to pull the string on the back of one of these dolls anymore. You press a button, I'm sure, and he speaks. The only thing we could hear from him was a snippet of "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." So what do you think about him? A Jesus action figure. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're coming to you live this Thursday, the 19th of July, and Cindy's calling from South County. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I'm going to muster all the scoffing I could possibly muster within myself to say this to you, but I believe a child would say, "And does my Jesus figure come with a cross so that I could crucify him?"
You know, I laugh, but actually written right here on my legal yellow pad, Cindy, is the question, circled, does he come with his cross? I mean, when you used to buy the G.I. Joe, they'd show you in the commercial, G.I. Joe with a pup tent, with a tank.
With a gun.
And it all said, accessories not included. You know, and you realize you have to go out and shell out another $40 for something else for all the other equipment that you had. I'm wondering if the cross is included.
Well, you could make your own.
Sure you could. Sure you could. Cindy, thank you very much. You know, it's a serious question, actually. I'll get back to it in a few minutes here. Bryce is calling from Colorado. Hi, Bryce. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Todd. Thanks. Hey, I just wanted to thank you for your show. I listen, on demand all the time and listen live today on the Internet from Loveland, Colorado. And I just want to thank you for being at the Higher Things Conference. My kids went last year, and they skipped lunch every day so they could go to more sessions. And it gave us stuff to talk about the whole year long.
Wow. Hey, Bryce.
Very exciting.
Don't thank me in advance, because last time I was scheduled to go to Higher Things when it was out in your neck of the woods.
Oh, that's right. You didn't come.
I didn't come because we had one of the most severe storms St. Louis has ever seen. And I happened to be sitting on the tarmac in a plane about the size of a VW bus during this thing when it was blowing in. And then they shut down the airport and we had to go home. So don't thank me in advance. The plane tickets are bought and paid for, but believe it when you see it. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, it's a wonderful conference. I'm going as a chaperone.
Oh, good. Well, make sure you come up and say hello to us.
Yeah, I will.
All right, Bryce, thank you very much for the call. Wait, did Bryce get his point in? Oh, we spent too much time just schmoozing with one another. Bryce, give us a call back. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I mean, he didn't call just to say nice things about Higher Things and about the show. Here's Herman in Illinois while we wait for Bryce to return. Herman, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. This is really nothing new, and in fact, you could say adults have been doing this for quite a while. There's a major religious shrine location across the river from St. Louis that has a massive gift shop where you can get all kinds of religious statuaries at all kinds of price levels, and they've been selling that stuff for years, put on dashboards and everything, and so you kind of get a little more enhanced and high-tech with Walmart and the little digital cubes in there with the buttons that speak and so forth. But in principle, it's nothing new. And by the way, if we'd been a number of years ago, you could have got out to Colorado in spite of that storm. If you'd taken the Missouri Pacific Railroad's Colorado Eagle overnight, would have got you there right in the morning.
You know, that would have been a certainly. I don't want to spend that much time on the road with Jeff. That's the problem. I want to minimize the amount of time I spend on the road with Jeff. So if I could take, believe me, if I could take the stealth fighter, I would. They almost had us at the LCMS convention. They almost had Jeff and I booked to stay in the same hotel room. They did have us booked to stay in the same hotel room. And that I put an end to that real fast, right there at the right there at the check-in desk. I simply said, Jeff, if I have to sleep in the same room with you, I won't work with you. So you either get to do the show or we share a room, and I got a room of my own, and so did Jeff. Like everybody else, for that matter. I don't know, for some reason they think we're connected at the hip. Bryce calls from Colorado. Bryce, sorry to cut you off. What was the point you were going to make about the action figures?
Yeah, that's fine. I was wondering if among Jesus' repertoire and what he says is maybe they could have, it's written that my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making a den of thieves. Or maybe like, you snakes, you brood of vipers, who will escape you from being condemned to hell, something like that.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
I thought those might be good.
Okay, yeah, that's, you know, I wonder if there's anything in there about being cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, or I never knew you, depart from me, you evildoers, into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Is the Jesus action figure smiling? I mean, when you see when you get the Hulk action figure, he's kind of grimacing because the Hulk grimaces a lot. I wonder what the expression on the Jesus action figure is. What would you want the Jesus action figure to say? Because he does speak, by the way. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Oh, by the way, once Walmart starts selling these things, as I speak the words, I know it will happen. Your local church bookstore. Yes, indeed. They, too, will sell them. Phil calls from his car. Hi, Phil.
Hi. I understand that people want their kids to have more biblical things to think about. But what I'm concerned about is, these kids are playing with the Bible action figures. And then one day, when they grow up, someone tells them that Santa Claus isn't real and Easter Bunny is not real and Spider-Man and all this. And they said, wow, if all them people aren't real and things, then maybe Jesus isn't real. So I'm kind of concerned about that.
Phil, thank you. You know, Josh called earlier. I believe it was Josh who pointed out that, you know, when you go into the store, you're going to find the Jesus action figure right alongside all sorts of mythical, fictional, fantastical Harry Potter dolls and whatever else you have there. You'll have Hermione and Harry Potter and Voldemort and Jesus, and all of those are fictional. Fictional characters. What does it tell your kids? Sally's calling from her car. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Todd. I was just thinking about when I was a kid, and my brothers had G.I. Joe, and I had Barbie. So, you know, G.I. Joes were always with Barbie, and they were visiting Barbie Land and doing Barbie kind of things. And, you know, are we going to have Jesus, like Barbie's going to turn into like a Mary person, or is Barbie going to corrupt Jesus?
You know, I had not even thought about that, Sally, but, I mean, here we are. We're thinking like the children who are the target demographic here. Sally, thanks for the call. We were thinking about, would it be Jesus against Spider-Man? Would it be Jesus against G.I. Joe? But I had forgotten about Barbie. And, you know, when Ken goes to visit Barbie, it's a war usually ensues at some point. I mean, there's usually some kissing. They sit down on the Barbie couch. They might take a date in the Barbie convertible. And, you know, kids will be kids. You put the Jesus action figure into their hands, would Jesus be asking Barbie out on a date? Marianne's calling from her car. Hi, Marianne.
Yes, I was wondering, you know, we're not allowed to have a nativity sets, scenes, out in public at Christmas because other religions, you know, don't like that. What about this?
That's a good question. I mean, and I thought someone sooner or later come around to this. Marianne, thank you. Well, we are allowed to have them in public. You just can't have them on public grounds in some cases. You can put one on your front yard if you want to. But one will wonder, especially if it's prominently displayed, will those who are trying to sell the Jesus action figure make the argument that Jesus is not a religious symbol or holds no religious significance? Martha writes, if Walmart really wants to prove that they are family-friendly, they ought to stop selling the Bratz dolls. I can just imagine Jesus and Moses on the shelf next to those oversexed Bratz dolls. It's the type of thing that makes Christians look ridiculous. No, I would definitely not buy one, says Martha. Now, my kids are too old for the Bratz dolls, but I've heard all about them. And Jeff, do you have a house full of Bratz dolls?
I really don't know that much about them, but I know my wife has banned them from our daughters, and I'm hoping my sons don't want Bratz dolls.
What's Beth's rationale there? Because, you know, this is like talking to me about fishing lures. I don't know anything about the Bratz dolls.
Okay, you know, it's very short conversations, and I'm working from memory here.
Okay, that's unreliable.
I mean, they're like snooty, you know.
Do they talk?
Gum-smacking bimbos. I don't
know. Do they say bratty things or?
I don't know. I don't know. We have to ask our listeners. You know, we've got three men sitting here in studio. There's not going to be a lot there.
Well, look, Sally raised the question about Jesus and the Jesus action figure and his possible interaction with the Barbie. You know, Ken interacts with Barbie. He takes her on dates. If the Bratz doll's in the toy chest, too.
Well, you know, if they could have a Da Vinci Code set where it's Mary Magdalene and Jesus.
Now, that's true. That would be Da Vinci Code, right? It would be right up their alley. Okay, so we heard the CNN piece on the Jesus action figures. Walmart's ready to sell them because they know that there's a family market out there for these kind of things. Or is there? One wonders, one of our callers said, it sounds like someone didn't think this through carefully enough. I'm beginning to agree. But, you know, these are the marketing geniuses that the church is following. In many cases, lemming-like devotion to whatever the marketing geniuses tell the church to do. I mean, we are in the midst of an era in American church history where the most influential figures are not theologians or pastors, but the great marketing gurus and geniuses of business. They are guiding the church into its next great bright era, or at least they say they are, and many Christians believe they are. I mean, if they could be wrong about the Jesus action figure, what else might they be wrong about? Or if they think the Jesus action figure is a good idea, it kind of makes you wonder about the other ideas they might be putting forth to the church. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Live this Thursday, the 19th of July. We're talking about the Jesus action figure coming to a Walmart near you. Our phone number is 1-800-730-2727. What do you want the Jesus action figure to say? He does speak, so what do you think the Jesus action figure ought to say? 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Jeff. This is Paul McCain from Concordia Publishing House.
You're speaking to Todd, Paul.
Oh, good. Hey, listen, this is right up my alley. I have a little bit of experience with what in the business is known as Jesus junk.
Oh, really?
That's what it's called, Jesus junk. That's sometimes how it's referred to with humor by people who sell this stuff. And I have to say, Concordia Publishing House does sell Christian merchandise, which always sells better in a Christian bookstore than the book. That's why many Christian bookstores are going to names like Christian Gifts, Christian Resources, things like that, because this kind of material sells much better than books.
So what do you think, I mean, as someone who's kind of in the business, what do you think of the prospects of the Jesus action figure? Walmart's planning on carrying them.
Oh, I'm sure they'll sell tons of them. Walmart does not do anything that they don't believe they're going to make money on. I mean, they've got the world's largest computer system just to monitor all their business, so I'm sure they'll do very, very well. You know, so many things do become matters of taste, and I guess there's all kinds of fine lines there, but it can get very objectionable very quick. And we've been criticized for selling some various items that people find less than reverent. And over the years, we've tried to really monitor what the materials are and to weed out things that we do believe are very irreverent.
Well, Paul, thank you very much. It's Pastor Paul McCain at Concordia Publishing House. Thanks for the input there. They will sell. You're right. Walmart doesn't make a move like this. They just don't guess at something like this. They do their own market research. They know exactly what they sell and why they're selling it, and they wouldn't do it if they didn't think they could make money off of it. So obviously they think someone's going to be buying it. They probably think Christians will be buying it.
Which doll do you think will sell second in line after Jesus of all the Bible characters?
That's a good question. Oh, are they going to do a Satan doll?
I would say it's Mary.
Mary, you think?
Yeah.
Moses,
David. People like the. Little David or is it big David?
Well,
David and Goliath, David.
I think if they're going to have one that's anywhere in the genre of like warrior kind of a thing, it will probably sell more. I mean, we're talking toys here, aren't we? Can you imagine the scenario of someone bringing home the Jesus action figure to the kids, and the kids open it, and as boys will be boys, they go out in the backyard, and the next thing you know, they've got Jesus rappelling off of the side of the garage, which is what I would have done if I would have gotten a Jesus action figure at 10. And the mother runs outside, a little perplexed, and says, "Don't do that with the Jesus action figure." And little Jimmy says, "Why not? What am I supposed to do with him?" It's a valid question. Out of the mouth of babes. Sandy's calling from Alton. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. This is very interesting. In the genre of today's overview in the culture, in the religious culture, when worship can be just another experience leading to a higher level of entertainment, and the message can be considered right from the pulpit as, building your self-esteem for success, why can't Jesus be just another superhero?
Yeah. Sandy, yeah. I think you are probably articulating precisely the logic that led to the manufacture and sale of the Jesus action figure. I think so, another called it the trivialization of the Christian faith. But I think you've articulated it quite well. So if Jesus can't rappel off the side of the garage, what would you do if you came home walked into your kid's room, and there he was with the Jesus action figure, and he was praying. Do you remember the Magic 8 Ball? Magic 8 Ball, it looks like a big 8 ball off of a billiard set, and you flip it over, and there's a little window in the bottom, and this thing floats up, and it says, gives answers to question, oh, Magic 8 Ball, will I marry my sweetheart? And it says, check back later, or indubitably so, or something like that.
How, they don't still sell those, do they?
Oh, absolutely.
I thought they were just big when we were...
Oh, no.
Like, that was
They're all over the place. Huh. Now, see, when I had Magic 8 Ball, the fascination with its ability to answer questions about my future wear off really fast. And then I started wondering, what's that blue liquid in there? You know, thinking it might be, you know, I figured, what is it? It can't be water or, you know, what is in there? The same reason everyone always wondered what's inside the Stretch Armstrong. Well, but what if you came home and little Jimmy, instead of having Jesus, the Jesus action figure repelling off the side of the garage, he had him in the room and he was praying? Or if you asking Jesus questions. I mean, should this Jesus action figure be able to say yes, no, check back later? Joe in Westbin, Wisconsin. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Todd. I thank you for bringing such an important topic up for discussion. I'm needing to know, is he going to have a kung fu grip and a whip for cleaning the temple? Is this pre or post crucifixion? Is he going to have the spear marks in the side, or is that a later seller where you have the Roman soldier with the spear sticking him, you know, and the blood and water shooting out from the side for the great action, kind of a squirt gun action
Well,
deal?
Well, that's interesting, Joe. I mean, I know that this is tongue-in-cheek, but in all seriousness, if I'm the marketer, I'm thinking to myself, which do we do? Okay, when they came out with when they come out with Elvis memorabilia, if any of you have ever been to Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee, I recommend you go, by the way. I consider it something of a religious pilgrimage. But when they market Elvis memorabilia, the big question always is, is the picture of Elvis or the image of Elvis or the statue of Elvis, is it going to be old Elvis or young Elvis? Will it be young and cool, or will it be old and kind of tired? Will it be Graceland Elvis, or will it be Vegas Elvis?
I don't know. I grew up down south, and it was it skinny or fat?
Yeah, skinny or fat Elvis. So the question I think the marketers probably were asking themselves with the Jesus action figure is this going to be pre-crucifixion or post-crucifixion Jesus? I mean, is he going to have the nail marks in his hands and his feet or the spear mark in his side? You mentioned the whip with kung fu grip. What about, I mean, if he's going to be young Jesus, maybe he uses a kung fu grip to grip a hammer. Does he come with a crown of thorns? I mean, the bottom line question I'm asking here is, when the kids play with the Jesus action figure, what are the actions? I mean, action figures are meant to be put into action. What are the actions? We know what the real Jesus did do. What will the action figure Jesus do when the kids play? And since he does talk, what do you think he ought to say? Chris in Nevada writes, I wouldn't buy a Jesus doll because I'm sure it would result in some form of idolatry. At some point, I'd see it as something more than a cheap plastic figure because it's Jesus. It would be too easy to attribute any small amount importance to the doll. Well, let's see, that's the kind of the genesis of my question, Chris. When Mom walks out and sees Jimmy throwing the Jesus doll across the backyard because he should be able to fly like Superman. I mean, Superman can hold a candle to Jesus. And if you throw the Superman doll across the backyard to fly, and she says, don't do that, little Jimmy asks, what am I supposed to do with them? Now, Walmart's not stupid. Some of you must be planning or hoping or thinking about buying the Jesus action figure. So what will your children be allowed to do or not to do with this action figure, given the fact that it's a Jesus action figure? 505-7850-1800-730-2727. It's audio open lines live this Thursday, the 19th of July, Roland, before we go to the break, is calling from South City. Hi, Roland.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
Very well.
I've caught the last 15 minutes, and this is sort of stream of consciousness. I haven't had a chance to develop it. But the thought that I get is that this is perfect for contemporary American Christianity. You give the kid the doll and let him figure out for himself what it is.
Hmm.
And that way the parents, much like with sex education, don't have to get their hands dirty, so to speak, trying to educate their children.
That's...
They can feel good about, we've given them something to help them understand what religion is. Now let them figure out what it is.
Yeah, I mean, a Jesus of your own imagination, which again comes back to the question of what would you allow your kid to do with the Jesus action figure? I mean, if there's, unless you want them just to keep it in the box. See, here's the quandary. The parent thinks, sees the Jesus action figure there, says, boy, I'm a Christian. Isn't that a good idea? I'm glad someone finally came out with this. They think it's a great idea. So they plunk down the $17.99 or whatever it is it's going to cost, and they take it home, and it's still in the box, and they give it to the kids, and then comes the moment of truth. Once it's out of the box, do they say, now don't you get silly with that? You give a kid a toy and tell him not to get silly with it? Don't be too rough with your Jesus action figure. What kind of an action figure is it? I mean, G.I. Joe, you could toss him off. You could toss him off of the Empire State Building. What kind of restrictions would there be? You know, Cindy had called before and she asked this question. Does he come with his cross? If we're making Jesus action figures, I guess we should say, how did Jesus act? What did he do? Will this be the what would Jesus do action figure? Where you get to kind of make it up as you go along. What would Jesus do action figure? What would he do if his leg were pinned beneath a rock and a cougar were crouching above him? That's what we did with G.I. Joe. It was all what would you do when it came to G.I. Joe. Or will it be, what did he do? And if that's the kind of action figure this is, first of all, it's not going to be that much fun. And second of all, he's going to have a cross. Because that's what Jesus did. The real Jesus, that is. He gave his life as the ransom for many at the cross. Now, that's not playtime. And that's not a lot of fun. But it is the gospel. Concordia University St. Louis Center underwrites issues, etc. You know what else they do? They offer classes toward your associate's, bachelor's, and MBA one night a week for your convenience. One night a week so that you can fit it into your busy schedule of family and work. Find out more about Concordia University St. Louis Center. Give them a call, 314-984-8840, 314-984-8840, or you can find them conveniently located at the intersection of Highway 44 and 270, Concordia University, St. Louis Center. When we come back from this break, I think we have some more audio open lines for you. And then in the last half hour, soundbite of the week. We're going to play four Issues Etc. soundbites, and we're going to ask you which one is the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll be talking religion and politics on the other side of the break, and some stories about our prospective presidents in 08 talking about their faith and their God. We'll be right back.
Where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues Etc.